Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartree's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Freedom-Based Business Method Reset, Systemize, and Realign Your Business to Live a Life of Harmony by Natalie Ellis is a practical business book for entrepreneurs who want growth without allowing work to consume their time, energy, or personal priorities. Ellis is known as the founder and CEO of Boss Babe, an online education and community platform for women entrepreneurs. And the book reflects that background in digital business, audience building, systems, and productivity. And Anger, its core purpose is to help business owners examine whether their current model actually supports the kind of freedom they expected entrepreneurship to provide. Rather than treating scale as a purely financial goal, Ellis frames scale as a design problem: revenue, workload, delegation, audience growth. And decision-making must be structured around a clear personal vision. The book belongs to the entrepreneurial self-management and small business systems category, with particular relevance for online founders, service providers, creators, and side hustle builders. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, in particular, Arhat, freedom is treated as a business design requirement, not a later reward. A central feature of the freedom-based business method is its insistence that freedom should shape the business model from the beginning, rather than arrive after years of overwork. Many entrepreneurship books assume that the founder must first pursue growth, revenue, or visibility, then eventually regain personal time once the company matures. Ellis reverses that sequence. She asks the reader to evaluate whether the business is currently built can support the life the founder says she wants. This makes freedom a measurable operating constraint, not a vague aspiration. In practical terms, the book encourages entrepreneurs to look at where revenue comes from, how much founder attention each offer requires, whether the calendar reflects stated priorities, and whether the business depends too heavily on constant personal availability. The value of this framing is that it exposes a common contradiction in small businesses. A founder may have left traditional employment for autonomy, but recreated the same. Exhaustion through unmanaged client work, reactive marketing, or lack of delegation. Ellis positions harmony as the outcome of intentional architecture, where business decisions are filtered through time, energy, and personal values, as well as income. Secondly, the alignment audit clarifies the gap between current workload and long-term vision. One of the book's signature ideas is the alignment audit, a diagnostic process meant to help entrepreneurs identify what belongs in the business and what no longer supports the founder's larger goals. The audit matters because misalignment in a business is often gradual. A founder may add offers, platforms, clients, partnerships, or responsibilities because each one seems reasonable in isolation, yet the total structure becomes fragmented and draining. Ellis uses the audit concept to bring those hidden costs into view. The exercise is not simply about time management, it is about strategic fit. Readers are asked to consider where their effort produces meaningful results, where activities consume attention without supporting the larger vision, and where the business has drifted from its intended purpose. This approach is especially relevant for entrepreneurs who have grown through improvisation rather than design. The practical implication is that scaling may require removal as much as addition. A business can become more effective by narrowing focus, reducing low-return work, and relocating founder energy toward the activities that actually drive revenue, audience trust, or operational stability. The audit gives the book a reflective dimension that balances its systems-oriented advice. Thirdly, predictable revenue is built through a repeatable sales engine. The book emphasizes the importance of a sales engine that can generate more predictable revenue instead of relying on sporadic launches, referrals, or bursts of founder effort. This is a practical distinction for small business owners because inconsistent income often forces reactive decision-making. When revenue is unpredictable, the founder may accept misaligned work, overextend herself, or treat every marketing tactic as urgent. Ellis frames the sales engine as a structured system that connects offers, messaging, lead generation, nurturing, and conversion. The point is not merely to sell more, but to reduce the uncertainty that keeps the founder trapped in constant pressure. A repeatable sales process allows the business owner to understand what actions tend to create demand and where prospects move through the customer journey. This also makes business decisions easier to evaluate. If an activity does not support audience growth, trust building, or conversion, it may not belong in the system. In the broader context of the book, predictable revenue is one of the foundations of freedom because it gives the founder more control over planning, hiring, scheduling, and strategic experimentation. Ellis presents sales as infrastructure rather than as a personality-driven performance. Fourthly, audience growth is connected to community trust. Not just visibility, Ellis gives significant attention to audience growth, which reflects her experience building Boss Babe as a large digital community and education platform. The book's audience growth system is presented as a way to build and nurture an engaged community that can support business growth over time. the important distinction is between visibility and durable attention. A founder may be active on social media, produce content, or appear visible online without creating a meaningful audience that understands the offer, trusts the brand, and is prepared to buy when the timing is right. By treating audience growth as a system, Ellis moves the subject beyond random posting or chasing platform trends. The system-oriented view suggests that content, lead capture, communication, and relationship building should work together. This is particularly useful for online entrepreneurs, whose revenue often depends on the quality of their audience rather than only the size of it. The book's approach implies that community is a business asset when it is intentionally nurtured. It can reduce dependence on cold outreach, create more efficient launches, and allow the founder to learn from the people she serves. Audience building, therefore, becomes both a marketing function and a feedback mechanism for strategic alignment. Lastly, delegation is presented as a safeguard against founder bottlenecks and burnout. Delegation is another major component of the method, and Ellis treats it as more than hiring help to complete tasks. In many founder-led businesses, the owner remains the central bottleneck because decisions, execution, customer communication, marketing, and administration all pass through one person. This may work in the earliest stage, but it becomes fragile as demand grows. The book positions delegation as a necessary shift from personal control to operational design. The founder must identify which tasks require her judgment and which can be documented, transferred, automated, or supported by team members. This is closely connected to the book's freedom theme because burnout often results from a business that has revenue but no separation between the founder and the machinery of delivery. Ellis's approach also recognizes the emotional difficulty of delegation. Entrepreneurs may resist handing off work because they fear lower quality, loss of control, or the cost of support. The method reframes delegation as an investment in capacity and sustainability. When responsibilities are clarified and systems are documented, delegation can protect the founder's energy while improving consistency for customers. In this sense, delegation is not a luxury reserved for large companies. It is part of building a business that can mature beyond constant personal exertion. In conclusion, the freedom-based business method is best suited for entrepreneurs who feel that their business is growing but becoming increasingly difficult to live with. It will be especially relevant to women founders, online business owners, coaches, consultants, creators, course sellers, and side hustle builders who want practical structure rather than general encouragement. Readers can benefit from the book by using its frameworks to examine whether their offers, marketing, sales process, calendar, and delegation habits support the kind of autonomy they originally wanted. Its practical value lies in connecting personal alignment with operational mechanics. Ellis does not treat burnout only as a mindset issue, but as evidence that the business model may need redesign. Compared with many entrepreneurship books that focus heavily on hustle, branding, or rapid scaling, this one stands out by making freedom the organizing principle of the company. It is also more systems-focused than purely inspirational books in the women in business category, while remaining accessible to readers without formal management training. The book's strongest contribution is its integrated view of founder well-being, predictable revenue, audience growth, and delegation. It does not promise that a business can run without effort, but it argues that effort should be deliberately allocated, supported by systems, and aligned with a clear definition of a well-lived life. If you would like to support Natalie Ellis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.